get promos and discounts from Filipino startups. Check out our partners at the description. Bookerman is founder of WOO, or Wrestling Organization Online, a play-to-earn management game in the Hive blockchain where players build their wrestling organization, acquire wrestlers, upgrade facilities, and compete to earn the native token WOO. Hi, Bookerman. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing today?
Yes, I'm fine. And I'm very excited to learn about this very cool NFT. It's also an NFT game, actually, in the Hive blockchain. So can you know more about WOO or Wrestling Organization Online, Bookerman?
Yeah, so Wrestling Organization Online, as you said, is a play-to-earn game. You can actually acquire wrestlers, which are NFTs. And with those NFTs, you can actually go and run shows traveling around to different player-owned cities, which are also NFTs. And you can upgrade those cities to build bigger venues so that more fans can go and view the matches. And you basically travel around with your wrestlers and go to these different cities, run these shows, competing against other wrestling organizations or players. And depending on who wins the match, depends on who gets to take home the prize and take home a little bit of WOO token.
Oh, okay. I actually remember some games, I mean, some online games that that were a bit popular a few years ago. Like, it's some sort of game where you have a warrior and you train that warrior, you can buy items for that warrior, and you can have that warrior battle another. But I guess in this new game, it's like wrestlers. So you have this organization of wrestlers, and then you can grade them, and then you can compete with other organizations. But can you tell us how this game is actually played? I mean, can you give us a more, yeah, I mean, clearer picture, or like a better picture? For example, how do I start playing the game? What are the mechanics? How do I get these wrestlers, etc.? Can you tell the mechanics of this game?
So if you're completely new and you've never heard about Wrestling Organization Online and you want to join WOO, the first thing you'd have to do is make sure you have a Hive account set up. So you could go through the process of getting your Hive account set up, or you could go to our website, play.wrestlingorganizationonline.com or woo.game. And you could actually go there and you could buy a Booker's license. Think of the Booker's license as similar to the Splinterlands spellbook, where it gives you access to do more Web3 things like trading NFTs, buying packs, opening packs, all those things. And so you'd go to our website, you'd get a Booker's license, it would sign you up with a Hive account. And from there, you could start collecting your wrestlers. You could either do that by buying packs, if they're any on sale on the official marketplace. And if they're not currently officially on sale, you could still buy them off of like tribal decks, off of the secondary marketplaces. And you could actually open those packs. Every time you open a pack, you get 5 cards. And those 5 NFTs will be 5, maybe the same, maybe different. It depends. It's all random. You get wrestlers in there. Your wrestlers could either be male, females, tag teams, or managers. And so those are the different possibilities of wrestlers you can get. And say you bought a few packs, you got a few wrestlers, and now you want to go start running shows. So what you would then do with your wrestlers is you would decide which territory, which city you want to travel over to. So there would be a little button, you could click travel to city. You would travel to a different city, which is an NFT that some player owns, and it's upgraded to some capacity. And then you would start looking for matches in that city. And then other people that are trying to compete and trying to earn in that city will also be there looking for matches. It'll match you up with another player, another wrestling organization. And how it goes about with that is each player then has to choose 4, you have 4 matches on what we call a card. So on a wrestling show, you have 4 matches. You always have 1 male, 1 female, 1 tag team match. And then the main event is random of those 3. The main event is worth 2 victory points, whereas every other one before that, every undercard match, the male, female, and tag before that are only worth 1 victory point. And the player with the most victory points who won the most matches would be the one who takes and wins the show. So for example, you could win the main event and one undercard match and you would have 3 points, so you would win. Or you could win all three undercard matches and not win the main event, and you could actually still take home the win. So you would just choose which players, which wrestlers you want to put in which matches. You also have a budget that you have to fit within. So you kind of like mana in Splinterlands, you can't go over that. So you would have to choose wisely and figure out who you want to use, who you want to book to try to give you the best win. But how the actual match plays out is it's a rock, paper, scissors style of resistance. So there's three types of wrestlers. You have the high flyers, you have the powerhouses, and you have the technical wrestlers. And each of those is resistant to another one. And so depending on who you pick, your moves might do less damage than they normally would. And then each wrestler has their different stats. They have cost, which goes against the budget of the show. So if you have a 10 cost and you have a 60 budget, 10 cost would be removed from your budget. You have 50 remaining. Then you have damage, which is how much damage your moves do to your opponent. You have speed, which determines if your move hits and if your opponent evades you. And then you have health, HP. So depending on how much health you have, when a wrestler tries to submit you or put you in a pinfall maneuver, will determine the probability of you being able to kick out and continue the match. Each wrestler has three moves, and you start with move one and you work through each of the moves every time you connect. So for example, let's say you and I are playing. I have my wrestler has higher speed. So that means I go first. Not only that, it means all of my moves always hit you. So when say I have 6 speed and you have 5 speed, I go do move one, I would hit you with move one. And so then it would be your turn. And then you would try to attack me with your move one. But since you have 5 speed and I have 6 speed, you have a 10% chance of missing that move. Let's say you got lucky and you hit me with that move. Okay. So now we both took damage. We would and those moves were normal. There's no pinfall or submission. So we just take damage. We now move on to round two. And I again would get the first turn. And now I'm doing my second move. And my second move would automatically hit you. It would do damage. And then on to your turn. Now you try to hit me. Let's say you get unlucky. Let's say you get unlucky and you miss that second move. Now on round three, I'm now on my third move, which is my finisher. And you on round three are back to move one. And let's say my finisher always does double damage and always goes for a pinfall or a submission. So now when I hit you with my third move, I have, depending on what your health is, a higher probability of defeating you now. And so that's basically how a gameplay works out. That's how a match works out. The managers, you can have one manager for one match on one show. And so you have to decide very carefully where you're going to put that manager. And then those managers do different things, like they might buff your speed or they might have passive benefits where they boost some stat. Or they might have an activated ability, which on certain conditions, it activates. Like, for example, Sheila, one of our better managers, when, say, for example, you had Sheila on your side, and I'm still going for my move three, my finisher move. Okay, Sheila, she's a beautiful supermodel and she's very distracting. And so what she does is she'll get on the apron, she'll do a little dance, and she'll distract me from doing my move. So now I miss my finisher. So now I go back to turn, I go back to move one come round four. But then after she goes ahead and distracts me, then the referee, oh no, no, you can't do that. You can't get involved. You're out of here. And she will eject that manager so that ability won't trigger again. And if she gave that wrestler any stat increases, while she was out there, they would lose those. So if she gave additional health or damage or whatever, all of that would be gone once she's ejected. So it becomes a pretty interesting little strategy game.
Yeah. Oh, this is very exciting. I mean, hearing all of this. Now that I think of it, it's more, it's like actually a mix of many aspects of different games. Like, for example, there's the warrior butler aspect. And then there's also, I think, like the similar to the football or some sports management games. So you
Yeah.
also, because you also have your players, right? And then there's also this complex mechanic that these wrestlers, these like warriors, quote unquote, have these certain moves. And you also have these managers. These managers are like maybe like your support characters in comparison, right? But
Yes.
those wrestlers and managers, like based on real life wrestlers, real life personalities.
Yeah, so we are partnered with 10 different professional wrestlers, and we also have
Oh.
we have all, I want to say it's 24 or 25 original creations that we created that are just like, wrestlers that we created. But we also have 10 actual professional wrestlers that we're partnered with. We're partnered with Perry Saturn, Raven, Sonny Ono, Ernest the Cat Miller, Terry Runnels, Sabu, Bill Alfonso, Just Incredible, Mikey Whipwreck, Tajiri. There's also a couple of more that we're working on. Pitbull One, we're talking with Blue Meanie. We're in discussions with a few others that I'm not privy and cannot announce at this point. But not only that, we're going to WrestleCon here in April, which is the biggest wrestling convention in the entire world. We actually created some physical championship title belts. That like we created the Hive Community Championship belt. It's a beautiful belt. It has some DApps on it, like Splinterlands is on the side plates, D-Crops, Thunkaria, In Leo. We have the beautiful Woo belt with the same people on the side plates. This is going to be a great opportunity for us to introduce average just wrestling fans to Web3 and to Hive specifically. And not only that, this is something I'm very proud of. And so a lot of people might look at this and be like, oh, how many people did they onboard to Hive directly from that event? I don't think that's the direct value. I think too many people just think, oh, how many accounts were created? There's only so much value in that. Where I really think the value is when we're at WrestleCon and we're with our 10 professional wrestling celebrities, we will be able to sit down and do interviews with every single one of them and have hours and hours and hours of content with our 10 wrestlers, our 10 celebrities that will be talking about Hive and talking about the benefits of Hive and introducing Hive. There's no other anyone anywhere on Hive that are bringing any celebrities to talk about Hive in a big way and push Hive in a big way. And that's exactly what we are doing. Not only that, we have recently partnered with Wrestling Shoots Interview, WSI. It's a YouTube channel that over all of their platforms, over all of their podcasts, they get over 5 million views a month. Over 5 million views a month. And we're actively advertising Hive and Woo on that platform, and we're having a really good turnout with it. I see a huge opportunity, a massive opportunity for Hive to be the place where wrestling fans interact with wrestlers. Because think about this, it completely changes the paradigm on how the wrestling fan and the wrestler interacts. Because what the typical relationship is the wrestler says, hey, or give me money and I will sell you something. I will give you some merchandise. I'll give you some of my time. I will entertain you. That's the typical paradigm. Now on Hive, think about it this way. Think about if we bring our wrestlers on board, we get them some Hive power, give them some paydays in Hive so that now they're incentivized to have people come to Hive, their wrestling fans come to Hive talking about them so that they can upvote their wrestling fan. The wrestling fan earns off of that upvote. And then Mikey Whipwreck, for example, will earn off of curating that fan. Now he's no longer asking that fan for any money. All he's saying is like, hey, let's have meaningful interactions here. I earn off of it and you earn off of it. Better than doing it on Twitter.
Actually, that's actually one of the good things about Hive and actually about Web3 as a whole. Like, it brings out more interaction between the fans and like the celebrity. So because before it was like very one-sided. Now it's more of
That
really
and
an
100%, it was one-sided. It was saying, you give me money and I do this thing for you. And now it completely changes it. And there's so much content created on wrestling every single day. There's so many conversations about wrestling, talking about the last match, talking about the pay-per-view. There's news articles that are constantly written about wrestling. There's so many YouTube channels talking about wrestling news. There's so much content that's created on wrestling and so much conversation had about wrestling. If we just get a fraction of that on Hive, it completely changes things.
Can I ask about wrestling? Because I myself, I mean, I have to admit, I'm not a fan of wrestling. I have to say that. I mean, but can you just maybe speak on this part? Just like, how big really is this niche, this community, and like the possible market? I mean, how big is this? Especially like, for example, in
So
America, for example.
it's worldwide. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Do you think UFC is big? MMA? Do you think MMA is
I
big?
think. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think boxing is big?
I think, yeah. I mean, boxing is
Okay.
pretty popular in the Philippines.
Exactly. Yeah. So you think those two things are big? Let me tell you this. Professional wrestling has done bigger arenas, bigger houses, and bigger pay-per-view draws than all of those sports. Like wrestling, the amount people forget that Vince McMahon and professional wrestling, they literally were the pioneers of pay-per-views. Like that all closed network television, that was all pioneered by WrestleMania and wrestling. And so wrestling isn't really a niche thing. It's so funny because people think it isn't that huge. I'll have this conversation a lot of times with UFC fans or MMA fans, like, oh, MMA is so much better. Well, if it's so much better, then why do MMA guys like Conor McGregor decide to implement wrestling promos and things from professional wrestling? It's because they know how to draw money. You think about it, the biggest draws in MMA have been people that have either are professional wrestlers or are cutting promos like professional wrestlers, like Conor McGrail, Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen literally cuts wrestling promos. He believes in the heel and face, the good guy and the bad guy. That's what sells tickets, is people want to see this bad guy get his comeuppance.
True,
You
yeah.
know, so wrestling's massive. Wrestling's huge. I mean, wrestling, WWE just signed a deal with Netflix. I want to say it was like maybe it's like $5 billion for like 1 year of programming, or it might have been even bigger than that. And I'm just undermining it. But it's massive. It's filled arenas with hundreds, over 100,000 people. You know, it's really, really huge. The amount of professional wrestling, the amount of people that know professional wrestlers. For example, if you went up to someone and said, "Do you know who Ric Flair is?" Yes, you know.
I think I've heard that. Yeah, I think I've heard.
Okay. Do you know who Hulk Hogan is?
Yeah, I know. I mean, those were the names popular back then. I mean, like 20 years or more than 20 years ago.
Exactly. Yes, but that just shows how big of stars they are, that you still remember them and they haven't been doing anything for the last 30 years.
Hopefully, yeah.
They've done nothing. They've done nothing in this sport, but you know who they are. And it's the same with movies and actors. There's so many of them. One of the biggest actors, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know,
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
a
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know he's a
No,
professional wrestler. Yeah, and he's actually back in WWE now. I believe he's going to be at WrestleMania, which is going to be really cool. I'll be there, so.
actually, one big thing I have to raise here, because wrestling is like more of, I mean, just like play, like it's not like very competitive. So what do you have to say about that? I mean, UFC is very, very competitive. I think that's why more, I mean, that's why many people like that. I mean, Conor McGregor, I mean, those. But like, wrestling is also like more of the story, more of like how it's actually a very long story. I mean, there's this villain. I mean, the wrestling organization like brings up this villain and makes him famous, and then there's another rising star, etc., etc. So what do you say about that? I mean, about that contrast between wrestling and maybe other competitive sports.
Yeah, so UFC fighters will even tell you this, that UFC is easier than professional wrestling. They will say that. And the reason is because think about this. When you might fight once, maybe twice in a year, but
Actually,
you're only getting like in one fight, maybe two in a year. And so when you're a wrestler, you're a professional wrestler, yes, the outcomes are scripted and you're not trying to go out there and hurt your opponent, but you got to think about this, okay? Your brain is literally just like on a stem in a jar of water. Your head's just full of a bunch of liquid and your brain is on a little stem, okay? And if you get power bombed and you get slammed on the mat, your brain will literally impact your
True.
skull.
True,
And the
actually.
amount, yeah, the
They will have
amount
the
of
booking
minor,
bodies for that.
yeah. And like they say taking a bump, which is just like falling to the mat. So like,
Yeah,
a
true.
body slam or whatever, any of those bumps, it's comparative to getting into a car crash at like 20, 30 miles an hour. So it's like a low speed car collision, and they're taking 50, 60 of those bumps a night. So that's why you so
True.
when a lot of people will think, well, like, oh, we see the MMA fighters, they're all bloodied up and they're all hit up. Yeah, they only got hit how many times in that match? And that was one time in the year. Like, how many times does a wrestler's brain impact their skull when they're working 300 nights or 300 days a year, wrestling constantly? Because it's not just televised events. It's not just the Raws and the SmackDowns. They do live events. They do house shows. They're touring, and they only have a couple of days off a week, 2, 3 days off a week. They're working every single night, 4 or 5 days a night.
Yeah, I remember the steel chair.
Yeah. And then you got to also remember that a lot of these guys get little nagging injuries. Like, they might get a little injury where maybe they pulled something or like tore a rotator cuff or something, but they don't want to get surgery and get it taken care of because then they're removed from the storyline. And now they're not getting any money. Now they're not getting more popular fans and they're not buying their merch and stuff like that. So it actively hurts them. So a lot of these wrestlers, instead of getting those things taken care of, they'll start taking painkillers just to deal with it and just to get through it so they can keep going. And now, next thing you know, you got an addiction to painkillers. And that's super prevalent, super huge in the wrestling industry, where the wrestlers end up getting addicted to painkillers or alcohol to deal with the pain that they're causing to themselves. And it's constant, and it's year round. So it's not like there's no off season in wrestling. So when it's compared to other competitive sports, this is way more grueling. This is way more grueling. You get the it's more constant. It's more small concussions, small impacts on the brain. And I had one doctor talk to me about this, Dr. Cantu. He's like one of the leading doctors on CTE, which is that concussion syndrome. And he told me that, think of your brain like a windshield, like a car windshield. And sometimes a little pebble could hit that windshield, but over time, that pebble cracks the entire windshield. And now, after that's like a small impact to your brain. It might be a little pebble now, but over time, your brain will actually spread that, and you'll have a much worse outcome. And a small concussion can turn into a big deal over time. So yeah, it's just a lot of people want to look down on wrestling because, oh, it's not real. The injuries are real. The pain is real. All that's real. The time they give up away from their families is real.
They're actually like artists. I mean they're like
They are.
performance artists, right? And they build their bodies for that. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's competition, like fierce, strong competition, or like this performance, when doing this performance, at the end of the day, when we talk about like this, the bigger, they're celebrities and they bring in fans and maybe they bring in money. So at the end of the day, that's what's important for the larger for the larger system. Now going back to the game, going back to I mean, Woo as a game. Why did you choose to build a wrestling game? I mean, in the first place, are you a big fan of wrestling even before then, or did you think that this looks interesting, like making a wrestling game? So how did that idea, I mean, how did that idea come to life?
Yeah, so I've always been a fan of wrestling. The idea came to life. I also did a lot of film production and stuff with wrestling, produced a lot of wrestling television, produced segments that were aired on WWE television. And I made a lot of really good connections with wrestlers. And I saw how it was how they were being mistreated because they're a class of worker. It's a, their issue is a worker's rights issue. I've seen it countless times where promoters would not pay them fairly. You would literally have to follow the promoter to the ATM to get your payday. A lot of really scummy behavior that I saw, and I saw an opportunity where we could make a change and we could allow these talents to continue to earn off of their likeness and continue to earn off of wrestling without putting their bodies on the line and destroying their bodies. And that's all how it all came about how it all came about. But one of the biggest things is I want to improve Perry Saturn's life. Perry Saturn is our first wrestling partner, and this whole project was created as a way not only to help other wrestlers, but to specifically help him. He's in a really bad spot. He doesn't have a whole lot of income coming in. And for me personally, why I feel so attached to Perry is because when I was a small kid, I was like 3 years old, I jumped off a hay bale and a piece of clothesline wire went in and out of my eye and detached my retina. And my retina was detached for a number of months before they put a buckle on it and fixed it. So I was like really, really cross-eyed. I was really cross-eyed growing up. And I got made fun of a lot. I got bullied a lot, and you know, all that stuff. And I remember watching wrestling. I would be at my grandma's house, and I would have WWF on one TV and WCW on the other TV. And when I was standing in the kitchen, I could see both TVs, so I'd watch it that way. And then once something caught my eye, I'd run over there. But I always remember seeing Perry Saturn making his entrance with his cross eyes, and he's just this big buff dude. And I remember thinking, ah, I bet you no one makes fun of him. You know, and I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. Like, he's on TV. He's like, it's the biggest thing in the world right now. Like, and he's there. So it gave me some confidence, and it did a lot for me to get me through that time in my life. And then meeting Perry all these years later and growing a personal friendship with him, it's been really cool. It's been sometimes the universe does some really cool things. I'll say that.
Actually, that's true. I mean, I remember back then when I was also younger. Wrestling was a big thing, especially for the kids, because it sort of brings, like, I'm not sure if this term is right, like an inspiration or like something that you look up to, right? I mean, these celebrities, at the end of the day, these wrestling professionals are like celebrities that people will look up to. Now, I'm speaking about the game again. I mean, so you mix wrestling and then this game. Why did you choose to do it in the blockchain? And why did you design it like an NFT game, a pay to earn game, and why in the Hive blockchain?
So we wanted to do NFTs because I believe in NFTs, and a lot of people want to talk down to NFTs and you know, without knowing about them, but it's essentially just a certificate of ownership, and it's no different than like a car title or something like that. And so I saw the benefit of owning this digital trading card, which is an NFT, that then anytime it's sold, it's super easy for us to figure out like how many times Perry Saturn's is sold for and how much he should get, and for him to get it automatically. So it made it really, really easy to do that. That's why we wanted to do NFTs. We also wanted to use this as a chance to show like, hey, there's some really good uses for this technology. Some people might use them to scam or do whatever with, but this technology is actually like really, really great and really, really beneficial. And the reason we chose Hive is fast and feeless. I mean, if you're gonna do games and Because like I've been in the space since like 2013. And if you're going to do games on with crypto, fees are going to kill you. The main reason why I didn't get into any Ethereum games is because I had to pay like $30 to send like $8, which is ridiculous. Which is ridiculous. And so looking around, we looked at Binance Smart Chain a little bit too, you know, but still fees there. And then how can you compete with no fee? You know, when you have no fee, doesn't matter if the fee is negligible, it's a penny. No fee is better than a penny, you know? So, and then also, we saw that Splinterlands did really good here on the blockchain. And they were, if it was good enough for Splinterlands, it'd be good enough for us. That was my thought. And then also, once I realized that you could write posts on Hive and you can actually build communities on Hive, it was a no-brainer, because then it's all in one spot. Build your community there. You can have the Web3 stuff. You have a proven track record with another company. So it's that was all kind of just it.
Yeah. I just want to reiterate what you said about NFTs. So actually, many people get confused about the concept of NFTs, but you're actually very correct. I mean, before we had like this physical, for example, NBA cards or maybe football player cards.
Yeah.
So it's like having those cards, but in the digital world, right? So it's like having
an authentic... I don't have to worry about ruining them.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
I have
yeah,
a physical
yeah,
card, mean, it might get those, ruined.
Yeah. And then, so I also want to ask, so you built the game, right? So how did you invite users to play the game? I mean, there are two kinds of users. It's either they know wrestling before and they can easily adapt to the game, and users or players that don't actually know wrestling. So how do you make the community larger, or make the user base larger for the game?
This is how we started, and it started with just a few of us. It was myself, the other three founders, and our artist. That's all we started with. And we didn't have a developer. We didn't have any of that. And I actually talked to Aggregid from Splinterlands, and I asked him, like, what should I do? And he showed me tribal decks and a thing called DeFi Dojo, where we could get a website put up. We could get packs openable. We would have an NFT market, collection page, all that stuff. It would already be integrated on Hive. And to do that, like for the pack manager and for the website, it cost us like $2,000. But that was when B was at like $1 a piece. Right now, someone could do it for under $200. Start off exactly the way we did. But we basically just put that money up. We got the website up and got all that. And then I just started blogging about it, just started talking about our game. Join our Discord, had it on Twitter, just started talking about it, started putting out the game mechanics, started putting out character profiles, just started creating a bunch of content. And it slowly, our community grew on Hive. One of the biggest things that helped our community grow is our partnerships with, for example, the Pizza Guild. I love my Pizza Bros. I love my Pizza Bros. Beard and High Trending, I love them. The whole community. Because we went to them and we said, this is what we're doing. This is what we got. And they started telling their community about us, and they came and joined our Discord. And really, pizza was the biggest thing that really boosted our community. It was like a steroid shot to our community. And it was amazing. It was something I'll never forget. And I'll always, always, always be grateful for. But then from there, it was just holding more interviews, getting out in front of more wrestling fans, doing stuff like WrestleCon to introduce us to not non-Web3 people, to introduce them to it. Not only that, it's just having the game out and playable. We have rewards coming out here within this next month. So everyone will be able to start earning the Woo token off of their actual gameplay. Because right now it's completely an open beta. You could play matches, you can, you know, do all that, but earning has not been unlocked yet. We were waiting until we had a better registration, so that you could easily register with an email. Cause like the big thing is, when you're trying to talk to the broad gamer or the broad user, you gotta use an email. You can't just rely on keys. You
Yeah.
gotta get them in the door with an email, and then if they want
True.
to deal with their keys and deal with Web3, they can claim them. And
Yeah.
I like how Splinterlands did it. I love how Splinterlands did it, where you could just sign up with an email, you could start playing the game, and then you could request your keys and they'll email it to you. Like I prefer a system like that, where you get people in the door at least. Because it's 2024, everyone has numerous emails.
Yeah, actually, that's actually like the friction to trying out a new game. I mean, actually, those two things that you mentioned so far. First, the feast. I mean, it's actually very difficult to start playing Web3 games. Some Web3 games nowadays, maybe not those in hype, because of the initial feast that you need. Because, for example, you still need to buy their token. You still need to convert your local currency to a cryptocurrency, and then, for example, you buy maybe a stable coin, but you still have to convert that to their token. And second, actually, right? I mean, some Web3 dApps now. I mean, I really love. I mean, the concept of decentralization, the concept of Web3, but it's actually hard to start because it's. I mean, you're right. It's easier actually to just use your email. Maybe if it's also like connected to other identities out there. But I mean, of course, I value that need. We have our own keys. We have our own identity in the digital space. But there's a bit of friction there. So. And I also want to ask, because you have your own token, right? I mean, the Wu token. So
Yeah.
why don't you just use maybe like the Hive token or something? So why did you like choose this decision?
So why we chose to do release our own token as opposed to doing Hive or HBD? It was so it was, the big reason why is because we want to have a governance token for us also. So we want to be able to have something where people have stake in the game and they can actually make some governance calls. We couldn't really do that with HBD or Hive. And the other thing is, so it's not that we're not dedicated to Hive, because we are. We very much are. And I love seeing games that utilize Hive and HBD. But for what we were looking to do, it wasn't going to be feasible. The other thing would be also is just to be able to control inflation out to people for play to earn rewards. So it's much easier when you have a token that can be going out, that you know how much there is. You don't have to scramble to try to buy it or anything like that. It takes all of that guesswork out of it. And then the other thing is, we want to be able to give incentives to people that hold our token to have deeper interactions with wrestling personalities. Like, for example, if you had certain amount of a Woot token staked, you'd be invited to private events where you could have an AMA with one of these wrestlers or the like. So it just fit what our needs better, and it just gave us it gave us the flexibility to do it. The one thing I will say about releasing your own token, there's a lot of interest things that you won't have to things that you don't normally have to think of that end up coming to light when you release a token. For example, I really like what Assidio is doing with HoloZing with the HP delegation for the token release. I know we did that too. We did that a little bit later than the initial release, and that was a great idea from Tobias, our developer. It was amazing, and I know Assidio's been kind enough to say that Wu HP delegation is really one of the things that made him realize that's how he wanted to release his token, which I think that was always really cool. I love Assidio. But either way, I would go back and make some changes. Like, for example, because we have to pay our wrestlers 10% of our of what we bring in, I would have changed how we held our general sale, because our general sale was all in the Wu token, which was great for utility for the token. But then, as a company, we had to liquidate 10% of what was brought in to be able to pay our partners. And if I would have had to do that again, I would have just had the money up front to pay the partners, and we wouldn't have had to do anything with the token. It could have just sat there, because that's one of my biggest regrets with the release and the token, and how we did it. And I've said that publicly before too. If I could go back and do it again, I would. But these are all things you learn from and you grow from. And I think we're still in a very strong spot. The amount of token that's being pushed out in inflation now is so much less than we first started. So the people that got in early with the mining rewards and the airdrops and stuff like that, they got quite a bit of tokens coming in early, and now we're getting ready to see how that plays out in the bull run.
I have to say, Booker, man, I'm actually learning a lot. I mean, I'm actually learning a lot of things right now in this conversation. I mean, first, I actually learned a lot about the wrestling part. I mean, that big ecosystem out there that I'm not really familiar with. Second, now I want to ask more about Web3, and maybe this is our last question. I mean, now, I mean, you actually built Woof from scratch, right? I mean, before you're not even in the blockchain space, before you're like a big fan of wrestling. And then now you're designing all of this. You're designing like the tokenomics, you're designing the govern the all the mechanics, like how the system will work in the future with all of the players, with all of the people. So what's like the biggest maybe the biggest pieces of wisdom, biggest piece of wisdom that you can share, or like biggest things that you've learned so far in like this whole journey in becoming like a founder of a D app in on a Web3 app on the Hive blockchain? I mean, how different even like from other stuff out there, from other non-Web3. I mean, what's basically what's like the piece of wisdom you can impart as a Web3 founder or something like that?
So the biggest thing, and this goes to anything in life, is just don't say no and just do it. Don't try, because trying, you've already put it into your brain now that you gave yourself an out. So when you say, "I'm trying to do this," you don't have to try very hard. Trying is on a scale, you know? So when you say, "Oh, I'm going to try doing so, I'm going to try working out every day this week." Well, maybe in my head, trying was waking up and thinking about it. But no. Don't try. Just do it. Nike's been telling us this whole time how to live life, and it's just do it. Don't question yourself. Just go with it and just do it. Trust yourself, trust your gut. Don't be scared. There's going to be a lot of stuff that you are not prepared for, but you'll get through it. Just do it. All you got to do is just show up every day, and you got to work really hard, and you got to communicate with your team. Communication is key, and just not giving up no matter what. Again, just do it. That's all you got to do. It's so simple. You just get out there and do it. But I mean, I say that kind of as a joke, but there's a lot of truth to that. Is just having the confidence in yourself to go out and say, "No, this is what's going to be done." And not everyone has that in them. I believe that's what makes me a good leader, is I'm delusional enough to think my ideas are good and other people should follow me. And that delusion then goes on to them, and they trust it and they go with it. But it's not a bad delusion, because again, I have faith. I have faith that I know what we are doing is right, and what we're doing is good, and what we're doing has actual value outside of the token, outside of the NFT. We're actually bringing awareness to a workers' rights issue, and we are making changes to a whole class of worker.
And you're actually like uplifting this whole industry. I mean, the wrestling industry. You're actually helping the wrestlers, and you're actually also helping the fan connect more together.
We're building a better wrestling business block by block.
Yes, exactly. This is actually a very, very good conversation. I mean, surprisingly, I didn't know about wrestling. I mean, I'm not really familiar about wrestling, but this is actually, for me, like a very, very good conversation. Anyway, thank you very much, Bucherman. If our listeners want to know more about Woo, maybe they want to try out the game, so maybe you can lead them to the site, or maybe to the Discord chat, or to anywhere where they can learn more about Woo.
Yep, you could go to woo.game. Just type that into your internet browser, and that'll bring you there, and it'll give you all of our social medias. You could also go to discord.gg/woogame, or find us on Hive, Twitter, or anywhere else. Rest org online, WRESTORG online. Come hang out in our Discord, and we'll guide you to exactly where to go. discord.gg/woogame.
All right. So for those who are interested to know more about Woo, even if you're not like a wrestling fan, you just want to try the game and you want to know more about the wrestling industry, and maybe you'll want to play the game. So go to those links. So anyway, Thank you very much, Bookerman. This is actually a very good conversation. I mean, talking about wrestling, talking about Web3, talking about your experiences as a founder. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much to our 34 patrons. This episode is super powered by AskLexPH Academy, our official e-learning partner, the certifications on Lean Sigma, project management, data science, and many more. Juan CFO, CFO services, bookkeeping and tax and payroll processing for startups and small businesses. DiviCode Technologies, IT solutions specializing in software development, blockchain smart contracts, digital wallets, decentralized applications, and cybersecurity. Voila, the next evolution of digital trust, privacy-focused, seamless digital experience for sharing identity information across Web2 and Web3 ecosystems. Buzz, Web3 microblogging app promoting freedom of speech and content ownership. Benjoy's Food Products, the home of premium bacon ends, Tapa, and Tocino. And Space Cebu, the biggest branch in the Philippines, global co-working space, meeting rooms, and private offices for startups, digital nomads, and freelancers. Looking for buy and sell online with Sigurado Sellers. NutriCoach, the all-in-one productivity tool for dietitians and nutritionists. And Spotify Team, podcast launch, production, editing, and management company, helping to increase podcasters' efficiency. This episode is powered by Contact, affordable RFID business cards. Uplift Code Camp, Sirius MD, Board Prep, Pareto Consulting, Zales, and Pocketworks. Please support the podcast through the links in the description.